Okay, we are talking about, we are marveling at our salvation. It comes with so much more than our presence, than our ability to go to heaven. It comes with so much more than that. It comes with a life and a life to the full. And so that's exciting, right? Jesus said, "I come to the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came to give you life and give it to the full." And so you don't have to live this depressed and this terrible life. You get all of this awesome stuff in the Holy Spirit in your salvation. And so what we're in now, part of the gifts we have now is love. That's what we're talking about. The gift of the Holy Spirit is love. And so we've talked about how love is hard. Let's read the scripture. Is everything okay? Oh, yeah. We rolling up the windows? Let's roll up the windows then. Let's just...
I'm playing for a second.
Okay.
See how much light we got.
Okay. If we, like, I liked it last week. If we want to roll them up, let's roll them up. That's fine. Okay. Let's see. Let's read the scripture. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 4. This is the wedding scripture, but it's so much more than that. This is our definition of love. This is what God teaches us how to love people. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And so this is love. Let's look at it in list form. So this is love. This is how, like, if you say, "I love you" to somebody, this is what it's supposed to mean. That you're not rude, that you rejoice with the truth, that you bear all things, that you are not irritable, that you are patient and kind. That's what it means. When you say, "I love you" to somebody, this is what you're looking at. And so I've said this several times, and I'll probably say it all the way through this. This is not something you can fall into. You know, in the movies, you fall in love. You meet a guy, you meet a gal, and they're wonderful, and they make you giggle, and then you spend the rest of the movie with some sort of reason why you can't get together, and then all of a sudden you can, and it's magical, and it's wonderful, and happily ever after. But that doesn't work like that when you get a human in your house. Because you guys are humans, and you know y'all are terrible. Right? And it takes a long time to get used to having this other human there. But what happens is you have to do these things to be able to say that it's love. And that's not something that those emotions of a great weekend or whatever will carry you through. It's so much deeper than that. Now, if you'll notice that love is not jealous, boastful, or proud. And I almost smushed together boastful and proud to get like into one sermon. But then I realized boastful is something that happens with your mouth. Pride can be an attitude. So you don't. So this week we're going to spend a lot of time talking about our mouths. And so you can be prideful without talking about it. It's an attitude. And so this week we're talking about how this attitude comes out. So what is it? What is being boastful? Because we're not supposed to be that way. Bragging on oneself. Or showing excessive pride. Bragging on oneself or showing excessive pride. So, if you have any pride this morning, I'm going to squish it through the Bible. Because the Bible is very clear about who we are and what we have. I'm going to read a scripture here. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him." The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. This is going to hurt. You are nothing. You don't even own yourself. I know that's hard to hear. I know it's hard to hear, but when it comes to being boastful, if you're going to be boastful, you have to feel like you have something to brag about. This is what I have to brag about. I'm particularly good looking, or I'm particularly funny, or I have a whole bunch of money, or my car is nicer than your car, or whatever the thing is that you brag on. If you have a thing to brag on, then that's what you brag on. But the scriptures would tell us that you have nothing to brag on. You are nothing. But by the grace of God, you were born 400 years ago as a slave girl in India. But by the grace of God, you were born 5,000 years ago during like Elijah's time or whatever. But by the grace of God, you were born in 2025 or whatever, but born in a place that doesn't celebrate the Lord. Do you know, I mean, like, that's one of the reasons why, like, we need people to go other places, like Abby. Because we have a church, Tippecanoe New County probably has 100 churches in it. All where you can find at least some version of the gospel, right? And they're sitting, you know, half to two-thirds full this morning, right? Gospel is everywhere. I mean, well, you can't even watch the Super Bowl without He Gets Us commercials, right? It's everywhere. And that's fantastic. It's great. I mean, we don't have nearly enough Christians. And I'm not saying that we're, anyway, whatever. The point is, there are places on planet Earth where you can't hear the gospel. There isn't, like in India today, like there's a million gods. There's millions. And so, like, if you have infertility issues, then you go to the fertility god. If you have a farm, then you go to the farming god. If you need it to rain, you go to the rain god. If you need the sunshine, you go to the sunshine god. And you have to do whatever rules are associated with that god to be able to accomplish that thing, right? And it's all fake. It's all wooden statues. It's all rock statues. It's nothing. They're nothing. And yet these people are putting their hope in them. But by the grace of God, you could have been born there. Right, so even whatever it is that you have to brag on, your nice car, your hard work ethic, it's all based on where the Lord had to chose for you to be born. But by the grace of God, you are nothing. So we are nothing. You have nothing to brag on. Now let's read something else. And I found this in our chronological Bible. If you're reading along and you're caught up, then it's been a lot of rules these last couple weeks. It's been a lot. I can hear the groans as we read through this stuff. Like, okay, the tabernacle's got to be this way, and sew it this way. And I mean, it's a lot of rules. Anyway, I found this when I was reading that when I was reading this week, Psalm 25, or maybe last week. Psalm 25:23. The land must never be sold on a permanent basis, for the land belongs to me. You are only foreigners and tenant farmers working for me. Now, this is something God said. You don't own the land. I own the land. You're just a farmer working for me. Right? And so we work our whole lives. We push. We strive to get a thing. So you are nothing and you own nothing. That's crazy to think about, right? Because I got a title that says I own this car or whatever. You don't have any. You don't own anything. My grandparents. I love my grandparents. They worked hard and they built the woodshed up, and it made a fantastic living for the two of them. For, you know, sort of upper middle class, and their money did a lot of really good on planet Earth. But you know, now they occupy a piece of ground that's roughly 6 foot long by roughly 3 foot wide. That's it. All that labor. They don't still own that house. That house is gone now. Some other family owns it. They don't own the ground. They didn't own anything. Like, all their money, all the money in their checking account went to, well, me and my brother. But you know, but I don't own that money either. So whatever money you've got is not even your money. I worked hard for that money. It's not even your money. You're just a farmer. You're just a tenant farmer for it. You're just controlling it for now. You have nothing. And that's hard to hear, but it means that we have nothing to brag on, because we aren't doing anything. You're just a workhorse for God. That's it. That's all you are. And that's hard to hear, but it challenges us in what we brag on. Here's another thing that I hear a lot, especially with our mouths. So, I was at the woodshed one day, and we had two gentlemen come in, and they were complaining about, if I remember right, homeowner's insurance, which we all know, homeowner's insurance is terrible, right? It's expensive. They don't actually want to cut. Okay, no, never mind. All right. They were complaining about homeowners insurance, as I was just about to do, and I'm not going to. All right. And so guy A starts talking about homeowners insurance, and he's, I don't know, two-thirds of the way through what he's got to say. And then guy B decides he's heard enough, and it's his turn to chime in, even though guy A is still talking. And so guy B is now talking, and guy A is still talking. He's just getting louder so that guy B can hear him, even though, but you know, like he's trying to communicate the final part of his point, but this guy's not interested. He's just still talking. And so now they both get louder trying to be heard. And so now, like literally, they're both standing at each other shouting. Like, and I'm standing here like, what is going on? What is happening? Why are they shouting at each other over this, you know, homeowners insurance thing? Like, are they that desperate to be heard? And then the question comes to me. Who are we that our words matter so much? Right? Like, I'm guilty of this too, right? I hear somebody talking. I get, you know, two-thirds of the way through, and then I feel like, okay, I've heard enough. I'm just going to start talking now. And then the other person has a choice to either stop talking or keep going and shut me down. And so normal social convention is somebody eventually stops. That wasn't the case with these two men, but why do I think I'm so... And this happens everywhere. This happens at your job. This happens all the time. This happens all the time. We're in, particularly... And so now I'll soapbox again a little bit. Particularly at the doctor's office. He'll say, so how are you feeling? How's this thing or that thing going? And you get out two sentences of the maybe 8 or 12, and he's heard enough. That's all. Okay, I got it. And he starts in with something else. Boy, that's frustrating. Okay, but anyway... Who are we that our words matter so much that we are cutting somebody off to start talking about ourselves most of the time, or about our opinion, or about whatever we deem important, right? We do this. This is things that humans do. This is not specific to just me. I'm not me and those two guys at the witch hit are not the only ones guilty of this. So how is God not like this? Because that's what we're answering every week. What it is, how is God like this or not like this, and how do we love our neighbor, our family, and our God this way? So how is God not like this? I'm going to read you a scripture here. I'm going to read you the same scripture that Emily read last week. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. Then, when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Remember that again, because I messed it all up. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So Jesus was up in heaven. So Christmas and Easter are, you know, they sort of bookend our faith, right? Christmas is awesome because Jesus was born, right? Easter is awesome because Jesus died and rose again. Without those two holidays, then we don't have a faith, right? It's not the same. So at Christmas time, what I think gets missed a lot at Christmas time, because we're talking about presents and we're talking about, you know, trees and lights and all that sort of stuff. What I think gets missed there is that Jesus actually stepped down out of heaven and put on one of these skin suits, right? He didn't have to do that. He was up there being worshipped constantly, where the temperature was perfect constantly, where he could hang out with the elders around the throne, where he could welcome in people as they die. Whatever his job was in heaven, that was his responsibility. He stepped out of that to put this on. Now, at 47 years old, I have begun to learn how uncomfortable this thing really is. Right? And some of you are much older and understand how much more uncomfortable it's going to continue to get. Right? Now, why would he do such a thing? Why would he do such a thing as put this skin suit on? It's itchy and it gets gross and it does gross things. Why would he step down out of glorious heaven to come down here for that? And then, this is not like he came down here to be worshipped constantly. He came down here to die, to get beaten, right? That's how humble our God is. And so if he didn't have something to brag on, then we certainly have nothing to brag on. Let's look at another scripture here. This is John chapter 13, verse 1. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave the world and return to his Father. For he had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew, now listen to this scripture, this is important. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, that he had come from God and would return to God. So, he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Go back to verse 3 there. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So if we're talking about you, God gave you authority over everything. So John Townsend did what? So Jared did what? So Joe McBride did what? How is the rest of that sentence read if we're talking about you? So he got up from a table, took off his robe, and washed his disciples' feet. He never even spoke until Peter spoke to him. So we're talking about not being boastful with our mouths, right? Like, Jesus' love, he knew, in that moment, he knew, I have authority over everything. And so instead of standing up and talking about it, like, okay, guys, listen up. I have authority over everything. You need to pay attention to all of my words. Instead of doing that, which he certainly could have done because he was God, instead of doing that, what did he do? He kept his mouth shut and he served the disciples. Wow. That is a great example of how we are supposed to be. Because love is not boastful. Love is not boastful. Okay, so how can we love our neighbors this way? All right, so let's read it. Let's read a scripture here in Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let everything you say be good and helpful. Let's be honest. Is everything you say good and helpful? Not me. Not me. Not everything I say is good and helpful. Let's look at another scripture here. Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. So, I have a little challenge for you this week. You work with people, probably. If not, you see people, you have people you come in contact with on a regular basis. What if this week, or maybe just pick one day of the week, Tuesday or whatever day it is this week, you go in to work or to wherever you're at, and your whole intention is just to ask questions. Just ask questions of your coworkers, particularly maybe the ones that you don't love that much, and then begin to prove to them that you love them by letting them talk about themselves. Because here's the thing, people are desperate to talk about themselves. People are desperate to, they want so badly to talk about themselves. They want to, like lost people particularly, want to talk because they have nothing else to like brag on, right? Like at least we can, I mean, the Bible even gives us permission to brag on God. We're allowed to do that. At least we can do that. They have nothing to brag on because they are nothing and they have nothing, right? We've just learned that. So what if you went in and you just ask questions. That now, I mean, like, obviously, you have to do your job. If your job requires talking to people, you can't just like, you know, hey, can you do this for me? And then, and you're like, oh, how was your week? And then there's no, you know, like, there has to be some work that gets done. I don't want you to get fired. But here's my challenge. Show love to your coworkers by just asking them questions, letting them talk. And then here's a wild, this is wild. Actually listen to what they say. I know you're going to be so tempted to talk about yourself. Hey, how was your vacation? My vacation was good. My vacation was good too. Right? I know you're so, like, you want to talk about yourself too, but we can't do that. This week, let's pick a day and let's just ask questions. Let's just show off our love because your words aren't that important. Okay. How can you love your family this way? Let's see where I'm at right here. Is this Proverbs? Yep. Proverbs 18. All right. 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. By the way, the Bible has so many scriptures about the words you say. So many. If you're just like, oh, I don't know what the Bible's trying to tell me to do. Mostly the Bible is trying to tell you to shut up. The Bible is just either talk about God or talk about nothing. There are so many scriptures in the Bible about this, and so you could find a whole bunch of them. Anyway, the tongue can bring death or life. Now, how many of you have ever been in this situation? And I certainly know that you have, because you're human just like me. How many of you have ever been in this situation where you the beginning of a thing is starting to happen with your spouse? Like, it's the beginning of a beginning of an argument, the beginning of a disagreement. And you know, you get to this point to where you're sort of teetering between, I need to be right or I need to be, like, humble, right? You know when you get there. You know you're there. It's like, okay, I'm right, and I know I'm right, and I could prove that I'm right, and I could push, and you could push that button, and like the Bible says in, let's get back around here, the tongue can bring death or life. So you're in this spot, okay? You can push it this way and start that fight. You can do that, or you can push it this way. Just be humble, be wrong. That's fine. It's okay to be wrong. I've been wrong like 2 or 3 times. I get it. So, and it didn't kill me. Or you can be humble and gentle and kind, and you can be here and be happy. Using your tongue to create peace in your home. Because the balance lies there. The balance lies in your mouth. So, it's much harder to do than it is to stand up here and talk about. I'll give you that. All right. So let's read another scripture. Proverbs 12:18. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Now, when it comes to your children, we've talked about patience. And so it's easy to get sideways with your kids, particularly when they get sideways with you. Speaking of students, children in the room, listen to me. Middle schoolers, high schoolers, listen to me. Your friends, maybe more than any other time in your life, are so desperate to talk about themselves. They're so, if you want to share Jesus with the people you go to school with, then just let them talk. Because right now, every one of you is trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to, and you want to be the awesome one. And so, if you want to share Jesus with your friends and neighbors or with your schoolmates, let them talk. This is, I swear, middle school is the hardest time of life. And so, anyway, now, none of them were even paying attention. Okay. because they're too important to hear. They're too important to hear. I get it. I was one. I know. All right. So some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. So particularly with your kids. Right, like the same kind of balance lies in your relationship with your children as it does with your spouse. Right, you get to this moment and you're like, okay, I can push it further and be right because it's. And I mean, sometimes parents have to be right because you know you can't put your finger in the outlet. You can't do that. sometimes parents have to force a hand because of safety and things like that. But it's not always. It's not always that way. Sometimes we can lay back and let them learn the hard way. Sometimes we can lay back and just create peace in our home rather than forcing an issue. And so don't make cutting remarks. Right? I love to tease my kids. I do. Actually, that reminds me. That reminds me of something. And please don't tell Silas I told you this story, please, because this will embarrass him. But this week, Mama was talking about personality stuff, and she was like, she told Silas, she said, "You have a brain like Daddy's," and he goes, "So I'm dumb?" You're gonna get that sometimes, right? And I think Mama was just like, "Yeah." Nothing. No, Shannon didn't say that. She would never say that. Shannon didn't say that. Anyway, okay. So sometimes people say people make cutting remarks. Okay, and I don't think he really meant it that bad, but that's how it sounded. All right. So, praise the Lord. Okay. Also, going back to the other scripture, the way you say things matter. And I know. Wives say this a lot more than men do anyway, but the way you say things matter. And so if you have to get your kids' attention the way you do it, you can do it in a cutting way or you can do it in a gentle way. You can do it in a loving way or you can correct a child without being, cruel about it. So, okay, now moving on. Now, how can we love God this way? I'm going to read you a scripture here. This is Psalm 34, verse 1. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all those who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I think this is what, if you want to love the Lord this way, then let your words be only God's words. Let your words be only God's words. And we're so... I don't think we brag to God a lot. Like the whole idea here, if we're going to love God, we need to love God, not boastfully. I don't think we're standing here, God, God, did you see my new car I got? It's better than your car. Because none of us would ever say that to the Lord. None of us would be silly enough to say that to the Lord. But what we will do is we'll say to the Lord, God, don't you see what I'm doing? I did this thing. I did it for you. I often wonder how many times, a preacher will get to heaven or whatever, and he'll say, but God, didn't you see the adventure building I built for you? Didn't you see the bigger sanctuary I built for you? God doesn't want it. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. God, don't you see that I'm reading my Bible? That's great. Read your Bible. He wants your heart. God, don't you see that I'm working hard to do this thing for you? Don't you see that, God? You need to come through and do what I'm asking you to do because I'm doing my part. Why aren't you doing your part? And I think a lot of times we'll say things like that to God. Maybe not with that attitude, or maybe not with that inflection. Maybe we don't say it like that, but with that attitude we will. We'll say, God, don't you see what I'm doing? I'm doing this for you. You have to keep up your end of the bargain, God. I'm doing this. You do your side. I need a new car. Don't you see I've been worshiping you? I need a new job. Don't you see I've been tithing? I need a new whatever. Don't you see I've been doing this? God sees. God sees. God sees all of it. He sees all of it. Your good and your bad. There's nothing you do that you hide from God. Nothing. And so you don't have to remind him of the stuff that you've been doing. He knows. So let's let our words praise the Lord at all times. Let's let our words constantly speak his praises. If we boast, let us boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the glory of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Amen. We are so bad at love because it's hard. But by the grace of God, we can get better. Before I pray for you, I do have one other thing I wanted to mention about Abby. She does not know how to drive a stick shift, and she's going to need to know when she gets to Nicaragua. Shannon and I would love to teach her, but we don't have any stick shift cars. Nobody has any stick shift cars anymore. So if you have a stick shift car and you want to train her on how to do it, and you don't mind her grinding those gears to learn, then because we all did. Everybody who learned how to do it grinded up some gears. The first time I ever drove a stick shift, you guys don't care about this, was a three on the tree is what they called it. The first stick shift I ever drove, and that thing was a big old Ford. It was, anyway. Okay, that's silly. All right, I think that's it. I love you guys, sort of. I'm not very good at it, but I'm praying for you, and I care about you for sure. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we give you our lives. We give you our whole self. Father, help us to get better at love. Help us to get better at not boasting. Help us to get better at being patient, at being kind. Help us to get better at all of this, God. You are the author of love, so of course you can teach us how to do it. God, you're good and you're glorious and you're wonderful. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Amen.